How many colorful euphemisms questioning your sanity have you been experiencing from friends and neighbors?
A lot.
Yeah?
A lot. Still today, matter of fact.
You know what I find interesting about that? Because we can laugh about it. People, what are you, crazy? But see, the reason why you're running is the other end of that spectrum. People question you, oh, you're going to run for this? Oh, come on now. But that's really the reason why you are running, when you look at it.
Absolutely. Why do you want to get into this mess is typically the message I'm getting.
Right, except with more colorful words. But that mess, and so you have to use one term like that mess, because there's multiple columns here. But before we get to that, Superintendent School Scoreville, right?
Yes, I am.
But you're also active in a lot of different areas.
Yeah, I'm a certified science teacher by trade, certified school administrator, certified law enforcement officer, and certified school resource officer. So I hold a lot of hats, but...
Each one of those hats is service.
It sure is, but the one I'm most favored of is I'm a parent, and I'm not very happy with our situation, particularly in southern Illinois. So.
And when you talk about that, about the future of the state financially, whether they would have to leave to find good jobs, or you're just concerned with your kids primarily based on the education system that we find ourselves in right now, especially when it comes to funding it.
Absolutely. I've been... a staunch advocate of better funding for our kids, particularly in our southern Illinois area, because we're sparsely populated. And when you're sparsely populated, sometimes they forget about you. And when I was president of the Illinois Association of School Administrators and the Association of Illinois Rural and Small Schools, I was able to travel the state and advocate for our kids. And it opened my eyes. A lot of people have no idea we even exist in southern Illinois, and they sure don't know how much poverty has affected us in this area. We've got a lot of work to do, but I've been a school administrator for 25 years, and every single year I see kids suffer. I see kids losing their vocational programs. Schools are cutting fine arts. Schools are cutting even sports programs. Those programs that kids want to be in school for, we're cutting them because we're being told to do more with less, and I've just had my fill.
Right. And when it comes to funding schools, too, you talk about this, in the sense that we've got to, when we get kids that are coming out of schools now, they're not prepared for higher education, one. And number two, they come out of high school and they're not prepared for a vocation either. And usually, once upon a time when you graduated high school, you were ready for one or two of those school paths, and there was a vocational program, chances are, in some form or another, in your school, whether it was auto mechanics or
Absolutely.
Whatever the case. It's even shop, as far as that part's concerned.
That's no longer the case. We've been forced with several mandates that have caused us to have to prioritize, and you have to prioritize with the law to start with. And when schools prioritize with the law, that chokes out everything that we try to offer kids that they could use right after graduation. Some kids are not going to go to college. They want to go to a trade school. They want to go to an apprenticeship. We've got to be able to serve those kids as well, and we are forgetting about them.
So what do we do about the state of Illinois in its debt? I mean, how do you find our way free of this cloying debt that we have in the state of Illinois, and the pensions that continue to torment us? I mean, because isn't that what we have to do first when it comes to education and making sure that we have the funds available?
Well, we stopped getting our due money in 2011. This is 2018. And in 2012, we worked with the Center for Taxes and Budget Accountability, and they came up with a way to fix that structural debt in 2012, and we fed it to them. We hand-fed it to them on how to fix it, and they chose not to. If I go up to Springfield, that's going to come back again and again and again until they reamortize our debt and figure out a way to make these payments conducive to what our actual budget is. Well, first of all, we can't even agree on what an actual budget is.
No, we have not been able to, for one thing, come up with a revenue number this year.
So in the meantime, we've laid off all of our pre-K teachers because we cannot hire our teachers until we know we have a budget, because that's not part of the regular budget. So we've laid off every one of our pre-K teachers, and so they're going to sit all summer long wondering if they've got a job. Now, how do you raise a family?
Can I ask you about something else that I'm still in the learning curve on?
Absolutely.
The teachers' premiums for their insurances aren't being paid by the state of Illinois?
Teachers' premiums.
The premiums for the insurance. they're paying their premiums out of the payroll, but the state has an obligation on the other end, and they haven't paid that?
Absolutely not. They're trying to cut. Matter of fact, they're trying to increase those on retired teachers as well. So this is something that's been an obligation that they signed up for. Whenever they signed up to be a teacher and the state has failed to hold up their end of the bargain.
My sources tell me it's been 17 months since the premiums have been paid for the state teachers. The cost of $10 million per month that has not been paid. Total unpaid premiums at $170 million. And the teachers, if they want to go get their health insurance, even though they're paying, taking out of their paycheck, state hasn't paid theirs. So a lot of doctors and healthcare facilities saying pay up front now.
Absolutely. So you go to the hospital, you go to your doctor, just like any other state insurance, and they say, what insurance do you have? And when you tell them you have a state insurance, they give you that look. You've seen the look, right? The look of, I'm going to have to talk to somebody else to see if we can take this.
All right.
And that's embarrassing.
All right, so here's one thing that I think is important. Now, we're talking with Superintendent Steve Webb. He is searching for the 59th Senate seat, and a lot of people said, well, how can this happen if you weren't in the primary? All right. Now, I spoke with people in the Democratic Party and said, look, we're not going to give Dale Fowler a pass here, right? We're going to have somebody in that Democratic seat. And it turned out your name was one that I heard shortly thereafter. But you have a responsibility now to be prepared for the upcoming election. You've got to go out and get signatures.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a process that I knew very little about. When I was approached about the possibility of going back up to Springfield to serve us, that learning curve was huge. So I've got people that are advising me and telling me what we need to do and actually working on the ground for me to get me there.
Right, and get those signatures.
Absolutely.
Because I have to mention that, you know, as a matter of being transparent here this morning, the signatures have yet to be turned in. You've got some time to do that, the election coming up in November.
Correct.
We've only got a couple of minutes left, Steve, and I knew you and I, because when you and I were on the phone, we couldn't stop either. But I imagine this now is problems in accounting, except without numbers. We've got columns where I see problems, right? Whether it's the budget, and some of them are connected, they all are. I mean, but where do you go when it comes to, with that superintendent of schools and that education background, you have a tendency to focus on this education, but I know that you're broader than that when you realize the problems that we're facing. So how do you prioritize? What goes at the top of the stack for you?
Well, the absolute top of the stack is our children. So from there, you can't raise kids if you're worried about whether you're going to have a job, whether you're worried about whether you can pay your property taxes or not. So you don't even know if you're going to have a house. We've got to make it to where these kids can be in loving and nurturing environments, both in the school and at their home. And I think we're doing a poor job at that right now.
You used the P word. Poverty. I've always had a problem with that, and I know it's because I'm from here. I know it's not because it's inaccurate, but until we start having a real honest look at what poverty is, what that word means, I think when you're in Southern Illinois, you think poverty, and you think, oh, well, I'll drive through East St. Louis, all right? Jackson County has one of the highest poverty rates in the state. You see poverty manifest itself in different ways in school classes.
Absolutely.
But it's a regional issue. And I, God, I keep using the word, and because I know it's true. And you see it manifest itself, like I said, in a lot of different ways. And when it comes to interesting, because you see it in its own way, parents, their living situation manifest inside the classroom.
There should be no way possible that one child is worth over $30,000 to the state in a district, and in other districts, there's $7,000. There's no way possible that should ever happen in society. Well, we're doing the same thing. What we do in schools, we're doing the same thing in the communities. In these areas that are blighted, we need to do something to fix them, to make them conducive for these people to be able to raise their families and to survive and thrive. And I think that we just kind of push them aside and say, oh, that's the way it's always been. That's the way it'll always be. And I think that is wrong. We are 13 counties in the 59th district. 13 counties, and we are the poorest district in the state of Illinois. So it's funny you mentioned East St. Louis. We are the poorest district in the state of Illinois. We had the opportunity to be able to add funding to schools. We've had the opportunity to have capital bills so we can fix our roads and our bridges. And how about our water lines? And we have fought. Instead of working together, we have fought each other, and laid each other out on the news and on radio and fought instead of getting down to doing our job. And I've had my fill.
Fighting instead of being productive members of one system that are apparently adversarial, but still working together to a singular goal.
Absolutely. And we have to have that in Southern Illinois because we just don't have the voters that the northern counties that have all of this property wealth have. We've got to work together.
I often think of it this way. We have to do this ourselves. There's no cavalry coming over the hill to mysteriously and magically solve our problems for us.
Absolutely.
And we just sit around kicking each other periodically in the groin and wondering why the other guy doesn't want to talk to us anymore.
Absolutely. And that's why people are asking me why I'm so crazy to do this.
Well, we have to have more crazy people, apparently.
I guess.
Steve Webb. Steve, so good to meet you, too.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
It's interesting. One of your one of our listeners reached out and says, once you meet Steve Webb, you'll find out he's more than just a school superintendent. It's good to have people like that on your team, isn't it?
Thank you. Yes, it is.